This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
How do you handle your anxious moments? God's Word has a lot to say about that very common question, and we're going to discuss it today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, there are so many anxious moments in this life as we walk hither and yon. We realize, O God, that there are so many opportunities that we have, but along with them come those times of worry and concern. Whether we are raising children, developing a marriage, trying to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world, or the everyday matters of life, anxiety is there. You know it, and so in your word you so often spoke of it. Help us to listen attentively to what you had to say, and then grant when the Holy Spirit works through these words, we may find our comfort and help in knowing that you are there to be with us, to guide us and to direct us, to strengthen us under every circumstance. This we pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen.
Is it a light on my way?
Friends in Christ, how do you handle the anxious moments in your life? That's a question that most of us ask to a greater or a lesser degree, because we all have these anxious times. God's Word speaks so often about this question, because our Lord knew that His children were possessed with anxiety. Today, He gives us a mighty lesson on anxiety as it related to His first miracle performed in Cana of Galilee. My impression of Jesus as He goes through His ministry of 3 years, recorded in the New Testament, is that He was an outgoing, social type of an individual. I believe that He was loved by people who came in contact with Him, and they probably could not get enough of Him. So when this friend or relative of Mary's was going to be married, she obviously was invited to the wedding. And Jesus was invited to come along too. And probably the host and hostess said, if Jesus wants to bring these disciples with Him, they certainly can come. So here they are in Cana of Galilee, going to a wedding, and they're enjoying the wedding feast. Now, that didn't mean just a cup of coffee or some punch, pink or green or whatever color it might be, some nuts, and then that was the end of it. When they had a wedding feast, they had a wedding feast, and we are told that it could last, in some cases, up to several days. Well, however long it was, they had a real problem, a real problem. And the person who was serving this particular wedding feast was very concerned. So the word got to Mary that they had run out of wine. She goes over to her Lord and she says, they've run out of wine. And Jesus gives a very interesting answer to that. Woman, why do you involve me in this problem? My time has not come. And it appears that Mary did not respond in any way to that answer. But she said to the servants who were there, do whatever he tells you. There were 6 stone water jars there that were able to hold between 20 to 30 gallons of water. And they filled it, the Bible says, to the brim. And then Jesus told them to take some out and give it to the master of the banquet. When the master tasted this wine, he said, where in the world did this come from? This is great, great wine. He said, usually they serve the best wine first, and then when people have drunken freely of it, they serve whatever they have left. But here you have served the best wine last. Why is this? And so that's the story of Jesus turning the water into wine. When did you first learn that story? It would be interesting to hear. I can tell you specifically where I learned it. It was on a bench in a basement in a rather small church in Westbrook, Maine. And I recall who my Sunday school teacher was. She was a lady who had never married, of the pious type, and sat there with her class of probably 10 of us and told us this story. There was a kind of a rabble-rouser in the crowd, and he began to ask some questions. You see, in our church, they had a strong, strong position that no alcohol should be consumed by one who was a Christian. Now, whether they all agreed to that is one thing, but that was the general prevailing position that we were all supposed to be teetotalers. I, of course, was a kid, so naturally I was. But to my father, my mother, they were to be teetotalers, and not a bad thing. I don't mean that. It was beside that in the middle of the Prohibition. And my friend who liked to get at that Sunday school teacher said, why would Jesus ever change water into wine? The people could get drunk. And she didn't have an answer for that. And besides, he said, we aren't supposed to drink alcohol in our day. There's a law against it. She didn't know what to do with that either. So I think that most of that Sunday school lesson was spent on the application of the day and the prohibition of alcohol, etc. But here in this marvelous miracle that our Lord Jesus performs, he involved himself in two particular ways. First, he solved the practical problem of the person or the people who were having the wedding. He saw to it that they had ample wine for their festivity. And the second thing that he did was to teach his disciples and others who were there that he was not only the great teacher and the great preacher, but he was a person who had divine power. He was able to perform miracles. And as the days went by, they would see one miracle after another. Jesus' purpose primarily for doing that was not only to relieve the situation where he found himself, but it was also to show them that he was the divine Son of God. So let's take a look at this whole matter of the wedding. As we have said, the wedding lasted for days and they were out of wine. Now, that could be a very minor problem as far as most people are concerned. So what? They didn't have wine? Look at all the problems in their little world at that particular time. Should anybody become so concerned about that? There were so many terrible, difficult situations, even when Jesus walked on this earth. But it was a pretty big problem as far as the people who were putting on the wedding was concerned. And so consequently, Jesus deals with it, even though the anxiety was not of momentous decision, the kind. I find that to be true. Many of the things that we find in our lives are really not so monumental. Over the course of the Christmas holidays, like you, we had all of our children, grandchildren home, with the exception of one who happens to be teaching English in Vietnam. As I sat and listened to these grandchildren who are now getting up in years, there was one of the grandchildren who was a second-year student at the medical school in the University of Wisconsin. And pretty soon he would begin to have rotations where he would go around and see the various patients and so forth. He was describing all of this and how much he enjoyed it and how he anticipated the day when he would get his MD and go out and be a blessing to other people. On the other hand, there were some anxieties. Fortunately, he does not have academic anxieties, but there were other things that he wondered about and how it would all work out. Another one who has an entirely different mind is now rapidly becoming very well established in what is known as investment banking. He had a whole new set of anxieties. That was in the business world. And what did the future have in store in the new year that we have entered into? Then the next set, two boys, were graduating from the university this coming year. And they were going out into this world of business for a little while before they returned to school for something else. But they were very anxious about just where they were going to land. What part of the country, perhaps, that they would be in. what their opportunities would be. And then there were two younger ladies. These were women who were getting out of high school now, one this year and one next year. And where were they going to go to college? Should they go to a state university? Should they go to a private school? And they could really talk about these anxious moments. Well, I was able to sit back in my chair, having gone through all of these days, and I just laughed a little bit and thought, how interesting. For Grandma and I have our own concerns. And we think ours are really bad because for us, death draws nigh when you get to be 82 years old. You know you're not going to vote for many more presidents. So this is the way it went. My point behind all of this is that anxieties are with us all. The disciples had different kinds of anxieties too. When Peter and John went into the temple one day to pray and healed a person and four that was thrown into prison and they began to talk about Jesus Christ, the authority said, you can't teach in the name of Jesus anymore. And one of the two, I presume it was Peter, because he was always talking, says, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And back into the slammer they went. Don't you think there were some anxious moments there? It had not been too many weeks that they had been out to Calvary and had seen Jesus dying. Would they have to die now for their faith? But if they had to, so be it. They would remain faithful to their Lord. But with it were anxious moments. Or if you take St. Paul, here's a man who, because he had been faithful in the proclamation of the word of God, had been arrested and put in jail and now was on his way to Rome in order to be heard by Caesar. And when he was on his way, there was a terrible shipwreck. And St. Paul, together with all those on the ship with him, were shipwrecked. And there they found themselves in the midst of the Adriatic Sea, near the island called Malta, swimming around on planks. There must have been some anxious moments there. Would we drown? And Paul said, no, we're not going to drown because God has promised that I will get to Rome, and I can't get to Rome if I've drowned, and if I don't drown, you probably won't drown. But there were anxious times. Regardless of what the anxieties are, here is the lesson. And the sooner that we accept this teaching of our Lord Jesus, the happier our lives will be. Here it is, friend. Very simple. In your anxious times, take those concerns to the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn here from the mother of our blessed Lord, who when they stood before her with the water jars and everything else, said, just do what Jesus tells you. Do it. This is a strong biblical teaching. A teaching that God is adequate, and you can bring your cares to Him. He is adequate, my friend, to walk with you and to help you regardless of what the situation might be. It is very hard for us sometimes to understand this. We think that we have to handle the problems ourselves, and we carry the burdens of the world upon our shoulders. God does not want us to do that. He said, that's why I'm here. And I am adequate, as I was adequate to perform that miracle at Cana, so I am adequate to miraculously work in your behalf and take that which is within you, which is not very strong, and make it adequate to face every situation there is. That is a strong biblical teaching of our Lord. God is adequate, and God is the one, if we'll walk with Him, who will make us adequate to face those hard times. Now, how? Sometimes it's by removing the problem which makes us anxious. That's what happened in Cana of Galilee. He removed that problem, that practical problem, by giving them more wine. And so they could go on and have a happy time together. That was a nice way to have it, and we like to have that happen in our day too. If it is sickness and God suddenly removes the sickness, that is a marvelous, marvelous solution to the problem. But maybe sometimes it isn't that way. Maybe it's enduring or enabling us to live with the problem. Maybe you have discovered after you have been married for a while that it was not such a wise choice that you made when you chose him for your husband or she for your wife. But God is saying, you're in this marriage relationship, and that is put there by God, and it is until death do you part. So therefore, you remain right there, and we'll work through this together. We'll strengthen one another. We'll actually break down the barriers that might be between one another. And you can become one. And your children can go through life with both a father and a mother, and you can have a husband and a wife and live on. God sometimes says that. Thirdly, he said sometimes there have to be changes in our lives, that the chemistry isn't quite right. And I will guide you and direct you to help you get rid of some of these anxieties. We are to love one another under all conditions. There's no question about that. But here is what I am finding more and more. That does not necessarily mean that we have to like the way some people live versus our style of living. That our thinking may not be the same as their thinking, and who is the one who's supposed to give in? Or is each one supposed to give in a little bit? I'm not so sure that you have much of a biblical basis for this, and I think that sometimes right here, our religion, our Christianity can become rather sentimental and emotional and not biblically sound. Just pray about it and everything will work out all right. That is not necessarily true. Pray and then use your common sense, guided and directed and led and empowered by Jesus Christ, and there you will find an answer. What is my biblical base for something like this? I go back to Paul and Barnabas. They had been out on a great missionary journey. But when they came back home, they had a difference of opinion regarding another person who had been with them by the name of Timothy. Timothy, in the middle of their going, had departed from them. He didn't finish the missionary journey with them. He went home, and Paul became irritated. Now, when they were to go out on the next missionary journey, Barnabas wants to take Timothy along. Paul says, nothing doing. Now, did they just sit down and try to work this thing through so that Timothy could go? No. They prayed about it, but they had a strong, definitely strong opinion. One went one way and one went the other. God led them. God guided them. And what happened? Paul took a fellow by the name of Silas and went his way, and Barnabas went his way with Timothy. Now, that was the way the anxiety was taken care of. It meant action. It doesn't mean that it's just a sentimental, emotional, love affair. It means that we use our heads and work it out and reach the situations as they are. What a marvelous word to take with us into the new year. As individuals, as a nation, as a group of people, listen once more. At Cana of Galilee, they were not adequate. We are inadequate, but God is adequate, and he has invited us to come and cast all of our anxieties on him. Amen. God Almighty, before your throne of grace, we remember those whose hearts are heavy, for they have lost a loved one. We pray for those, O God, who are sick, many of them very sick. If it be your will, lay your hand of healing upon them. Bless those who are attending them, and grant, O God, that they may have a peace which only you can give. For those hearts, for those homes, for those people individually who feel alone, let them open their hearts and come in and be their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time throughout the country and internet access around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Reverend Larson writes the feature article for each edition. The upcoming issue is centered on the theme of discipleship. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.